Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the name of the Most High God. Amen. Let's just bow our hearts and pray. Father, we come before your throne of grace this last Tuesday in the month of March. You have been faithful. You have kept us from the beginning of this year. And you have made us to see the end, the last Tuesday in this month. Father, we are grateful. Take all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. This Bible study time, we want to sit at your feet, just like Mary did. And you said to her, only one thing is needful, and that Mary has taken. Father, we thank you. We will sit at your feet. You will speak to us. You will give us divine direction. You will give us divine illumination. Holy Spirit, have your way in our midst. Let everyone who will listen online or those who are here on the spot, make them to receive from you. Blessed be your name, Father, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Praise the Lord. Praise the name of Jesus. Can you welcome your neighbor and say, how has been your day? I'm happy to be here. How has been your day? Praise the Lord. God is faithful. This evening we will continue to share what we have started from the beginning of the month. Building capacity. Building capacity. Well, I want to put it that building capacity for relevance. If you look at everything we have been taught from the beginning of this month, it is building on blocks for relevance. Can you quickly open with me? And I want to trust God that if there is still need for you to hear something today, God will make you hear it. Not only will you hear it, you will do it. And you will see the result in Jesus' name. Can we quickly open to Matthew chapter 7? I want to read just a few verses. I want to read 3 or 4 verses. Matthew chapter 7 from verse 24. Please, you have, this is Bible study. You have to open your Bible because we have a little challenge with this. So, nothing will be displayed on the screen. So, you need your Bible to be able to follow. Please take your Bible, or if you have your Bible on your iPad or somewhere, please make sure you are following. Matthew 7, I begin to read from verse 24. It says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. It is solid. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. A wise man, a foolish man. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Praise the Lord. Two people, from the beginning of this month, God has been speaking to us. Are you a doer of the word? How are you building? What are you building? Are you building according to the books? Are you building scripturally? Are you building according to pattern? Or you are building anyhow? This is what the word of God is saying to us this evening. And Jesus Christ speaking here is admonishing us to build upon the solid rock. And Jesus is that solid rock. A lot has been said to us about building, but I was asking the Holy Spirit that, what should I do? And the Holy Spirit said, people have heard what they can do. Nobody has told them what they cannot do. So this evening, in the next few minutes, I'm going to be sharing with us how not to build capacity. Can you tell somebody how not to build? How not to build capacity? We don't have the screen, but well, it's okay. The first point I will give you in how not to build capacity is, don't you ever forget your roots. Don't ever forget your roots. What do I mean? What do I understand? You see, for many of us, when we need to excel or to build capacity, or when we intend to reach a particular goal, you will see many of us, that is when you are pious. That is when you are praying. That is when you are doing everything that needs. That is when you find people coming to church regularly. That is when you find them faithful. But as soon as such people are able to achieve their plans and purposes, for example, a man who has been looking for a job for quite some time, you will see him, because now he doesn't have a job, he will come to church regularly. He will be active in this place. He will be active in several places. But for some of them, not all, such people don't come to this church anyway. As soon as they give them that job and they reach what they are stretching out to reach, you find them giving excuses. It is because of my job. For some women, they will say, maybe before they got married and looking for a life partner, they now get a life partner, and now they are pregnant, and now they have children. They will begin to tell you, it is my children that has kept me at home, that I cannot serve the Lord again. Psalm 1, verse 1 to 5. Can somebody open and read for us, please? It's Bible study, so you are I can call anybody to read for us. So Psalm 1, from verse 1. Psalm 1, verse 1. Has anybody found it? Yes, please. Verses 1 to 6. Can you please give them the mic? It's going to be participatory. Anybody can be called to read, and anybody can be asked any question, please.
Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly,
yes,
nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, yes, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in the season.
Yes.
In his seasons. And his fruit also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper.
Amen.
The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous.
For the Lord
knoweth the way of the righteous,
but the way of the ungodly shall perish. That actually summarizes it. When you start a thing, when you become great, when you become ministers, or when your hand reaches onto that thing you have been looking up to, and then you forgot where you started from, it is like a tree that is planted by the rivers of water, that has forgotten that it was this source of water that is feeding it. Many children, because their parents are not educated, they don't go back to take care of their families. I know many of you must have seen, there was a time, a story was trending where a young man had become so rich and he's doing very well in Lagos, and it was time for him to get married. He now took the young lady he was going to marry to the parents in the village. And when they got to the village, the father was, you know, one leg was up, one leg was down. They were looking so dirty, so unkempt, and mama was cutting vegetable. And but this man is prospering in Lagos. He has built houses. They say he's a philanthropist. He's giving other. Why is it that he has not taken care of his root? So thank God for that young lady. That young lady now told him, don't introduce me to your parents now until you take care of your parents before I will marry you. And I think the story ended well, because the man knew that he had to take care. Don't you ever forget your roots. Don't you ever forget people who prayed with you when you were going through terrible times. Don't you ever forget who helped you to climb the ladder of success. We are building capacity now. We are climbing the ladder. Don't you ever forget to go back to such people and do them good. What is my example? My example is the example of Lot. Abraham and Lot. How many of us remember that story in the book of Genesis? Abraham took Lot when Lot was very little, because his father had died. And Abraham decided to take him along with him on the journey that God has asked Abraham to go on. And Abraham helped his life. Abraham taught him how to make wealth, isn't it? It was Abraham who taught him how to become a substantial person in life. And the Bible said the two of them became prosperous. The two of them became so rich that the grass had now become too small to take care of their cattle. Abraham, your uncle, your father's brother, who took you along when your father had died, nobody to take care of you. The Bible said the herdsmen of Abraham and the herdsmen of Lot started to fight because they didn't have enough grass for the cattle to eat. Abraham now called in wisdom. Abraham now called Lot. Said, it should not be so. Who is supposed to have gone to Abraham and said, Baba, it should not be like that. It should not be so that our headsmen should fight. Let us divide this grass that we have. If you go to the north, I will go to the south. If you go to the south, I will choose the north. And Abraham, the big man, the one who brought you up when you were nothing, when you didn't know your left from your right. I'm speaking to somebody. This is Bible study. So that we learn from the lives of these people. Ask Lot and said, Lot, okay, choose. If an elderly person tells you to choose, would you not tell that elderly person that, please, Baba, choose first? What will you say? I want people to contribute. I want young people to talk. I want older people to talk. There is a problem. And the older person is telling you that, make a choice. If you go to the right, I will go to the left. Can somebody contribute? Tell me, how, if you are asked to make such a choice, what would you do? Because I've had people who said, it was Abraham who gave him the choice to make, so he decided to do it that way. What would you do? Somebody is lifting up her hands. Where is the microphone? What will you do? And I want to hear from our young people too. Somebody is lifting up her hands too.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
As Abraham said to Lot, he's supposed to say, you are my father and you are my brother, you are my leader. You're supposed to take first. But because Abraham know God, he know that nothing that he has God to do for him that he cannot do. He believed in God that he has taken care of him from the land to the promised land that he's taking him to. He hold on to him that if my brother takes the best one, I know that my God will do the next that will better me. So he hold on to Christ. God is expecting me and you to hold on to Christ. He's able to do all things for us. God will help us.
Thank you very much, ma. That's your perspective. You believe that Abraham, because he is in the Lord, he knows that the Lord will give him the better part of the land. Can I have a young person? If you are asked to make a choice, an elderly person is asking you to make a choice, how would you choose? What choice? My question is actually, what choice will you, how would you respond? Is there any young person who would like to speak? Any young person? Praise the Lord. Well, we have a good answer. Lot decided to choose the juicy part. He decided to choose the fertile ground. And then he went to Sodom. And he ended up being destroyed. If you are asked to make a choice, and an elderly, because the truth of the matter is, our young people have not been taught. Many of them don't even know it is not right for them to make a choice first. If you ask them, they will tell you, it was Abraham who asked him. So I thought somebody would be bold enough to tell me that he asked him to do it and he did it. That's why some of them say. But you know what? When you are asked to make such choices, Lot was supposed to tell Abraham, Father, Baba, because Abraham actually is the father he actually grew up to know. Father, make your choice, and then whatever you say, everything he had actually belonged to Abraham. Because it was Abraham who taught him. Lot made a choice, and it became a wrong choice. Because he went to Sodom and Gomorrah, there the land was destroyed. He ended up sleeping with his two daughters. And they became enemies to the children of God. What are we saying? Lot forgot his roots. He forgot that it was Abraham that gave him that foundation. The riches that he now had, that there was competition. He had forgotten that it was Abraham who taught him how to fish, not just giving him fish. My counsel number two, don't live a life of no integrity. Because when you are building capacity, those are the things that will confront you. Don't you ever forget your roots. That's number one. Yoruba so wi pe odo to ba gbagbe orisun e dandan ni ko gbe. Somebody will give you that translation if you don't understand Yoruba. Don't live a life of no integrity. What do I mean? Don't live a life of fast deals that lead to many fast deaths. Don't live a life of shortcuts that cause many destinies short. What do I mean? Don't live a life of cutback. Cutback. You decide to give somebody bribe so that you can get it and it can be done. Don't live a life of no integrity. Billy Graham in his book, he said, if you lose money, he made a quotation and that has stuck in my head. He said, if you lose money, you have lost nothing. So in your bid to build capacity, you might lose money along the way. You have lost nothing. He says, if you lose your health along the way, you have lost something. But if you lose Jesus and you lose character, you have lost everything. And I mean everything. You must not be a man of no character. When you are building blocks, don't make money by force. That's what we are saying. Don't become a 419er. Don't make money. I've listened to young people, they will tell you, Mommy, I will make this money by any means. Don't be like them. You have a foundation in Christ. Make your money. Work according to the rules. Just this, yesterday, you know, today is Tuesday. On Sunday, my friend was sharing with me that somebody came after their church service, after the Mother's Day dancing and everything, as soon as church was over, outside the gates of their church, they saw some men who were waiting. And as soon as a particular man in that church came up, they grabbed him and they started beating him. And you know, of course, the church will rise up to say, how can you be beating our member and all that and all that? And you know what? They said to them, they said, this man, I think he is an estate agent. He collected four of them. He said, he collected money from me, collected money from this one, collected money from that one, and gave only one of them the house. The other people, he did not give them the rent. They had paid the rent, they had paid his fees, they have paid everything, but he did not give them the required houses. And they said they will not stop beating him. So of course, you know, there was little the church could do. They allowed them to beat him a bit. Oh, better. Yes, so that. And they said, they now told them that you shouldn't have come to church. They said he has been running away, even in his house. He will not come to sleep early. It's only in the night he will just sleep in. But they know that he has been covering up with Christianity, that he's a Christian. So they know that he will come to church. And that was why they came. You must be a man of integrity. You all know Gehazi, 2 Kings chapter 5. Gehazi was Elisha. You all know Elisha. Gehazi was like the servant of Elisha. Gehazi was a man of no integrity. He was looking at how Elisha was serving the Lord. And Elisha was teaching him how to follow and build according to pattern. But you see, in 2 Kings chapter 5, if you read from verse 1 to the end, it talked about Naaman being cured by Elisha. Naaman was a leper. And he came to Elisha. And Elisha spoke to him. Of course, Naaman thought that Elisha will say, come, let me lay hands on you. Leprosy, go away in Jesus' name. No. Elisha told him, go to River Jordan and take a bath there. And after, reluctantly he did it. And after that, he was so thrilled. He wanted to give the man of God something. But Elisha said, no. Freely have I received. Freely will I give. You don't need to pay anything. Go away. But Gehazi was looking at him like, and I'm saying it because that is why what some of the people working with us will do. Say, how can he go free like that? Look at all the things the man brought. He brought donkeys. He brought change of raiment. Riches. After serving somebody now came to you and gave you a brand new car. You know, gave to your master a brand new car with all the accessories and whatever you need for the next 1 year. Including cash. And you say, no, don't worry. Just go. It is God who healed you, not me. You can go. Gehazi looked and said, he cannot go free of that like that. Gehazi followed he followed Naaman. And on the way, he called Naaman. He said, Naaman, my master, after you left, some visitors came to visit us. And he said, I should come and collect all the money, all those goods that you said. He said he didn't want before. Gehazi was a man of no integrity. He collected it and he quickly, these are the things these young people are doing now. And he quickly kept it somewhere. The Bible said, and he stood before his master. I'm looking at time. If not, I would have loved us to read. The Bible said, he came back and stood before Elisha. And as he stood there, of course, Elisha is a man with the spirit of God. Elisha started asking him, where have you been? He said, I've not been anywhere. He now told him, said, did my spirit not follow you? When you were taking clothes and raiment and you are carrying riches, is this the time for you to begin to collect gifts? And he said, because you have done that, you know, some of these things, God forbid, we collect. Some of these things you think you will take by force. When you take things that do not belong to you, that is, you don't have integrity. He said, the leprosy of Naaman will come upon you. And the Bible said, immediately the leprosy of Naaman came upon him. And he was white and he left the presence of Elisha. What is our take home for Bible study in that? Please don't take bribe. Please don't take things that do not belong to you. No matter how little. What about a man who is taking another man's wife? Don't take another man's wife. Don't take another woman's husband. Don't take things that do not belong to you. Stand in the integrity of the Lord. And God at the right time will prosper you. Don't say because of what you are going through, you must do it anyhow. But rather, stand and wait on the Lord. And the Lord will prosper you in Jesus' name. There's something we call character capital. When you can vouch for a person, you say, yes, I can stand in for this kind of person. What am I saying? A life of no integrity is a life of a fool. It's not the life of a wise person. Don't steal anything, no matter how little. The moment you steal it, you are just telling God that you can never, never prosper to have such a thing. Don't take anything that does not belong to you. Praise the Lord. My next point is point number 3. Don't live a life of strife. Don't live a life of strife. What do I mean? A life of fighting. A life of... Don't build... You know, some people will say, whatever it takes, we are going to fight it out to get this business done. To get this job done. To do this so that I will be rich. Whatever. Don't live a life of strife. I mean, don't live a life of conflict. Don't live a life of disagreements. There are some people that are known that nothing, there's no way in everything they do, they must disagree. Don't live a life of quarreling, a life of fighting. It does not pay you to build on a life of strife. God wants us to build on a life that is of the solid rock. Job chapter 5 verse 2 says, "For wrath killeth the foolish man, and envy slayeth the silly one. It is an honor for a man to cease from strife." When there is misunderstanding between you and anybody, and you decide, please, I don't want strife, I don't want to fight, I don't want to quarrel, and you decide that whatever you want, please, you can have your way. The Bible says, it is an honor. I'm reading Proverbs 20, verse 3. It is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling with fights. So those who fight, those who say we will slug it out, those who say we will do it, we are going to quarrel and there will be conflict, the Bible calls them a fool. Strife takes away everything you need to move on to your next level. Because the devil will always stand in the way to tell you that you have not done it well. No man ever lives to reach his destiny. If his focus is on how to do or undo, and if his focus is on competition with other people, that you bought a car, I'm going to buy a car. You did this, you build a house, I'm going. Your focus, your future is already distorted because you are in competition, you are fighting. That is even sometimes we call that one healthy competition. Not to talk of evil competition. Oh, my wife will not get there. Strive. We were talking upstairs, and Pastor Adeko was telling us that there are some men who cannot stand their wives, you know, prospering and doing better than them in life. And he gave the example of Deborah. Deborah, Mrs. Lapidus was a judge. Judge Deborah Lapidus. The husband was comfortable. The husband sits at the gates with the men. But what we have now is, once a woman is doing a little better than a man, there will be trouble. There's always trouble in the home. But Mr. Lapidus was very comfortable. And he was so proud of the wife. The wife was going on right in front of him. She was also a prophetess. He was so proud and he was comfortable with it. But how many men will be, will there not be strife? How many men will be comfortable like Mr. Lapidus? Strife makes you to live, to create an impression. When you are not living correct, when you are living in strife, you sort of want to form. I think that's what young people call it now. You want to form. You want to look like what you are not. Because you are in competition, you begin to, you know that right inside you, you are not. Such people, you will see that little by little, the enemy is destroying them. And then, my next point is, don't live a life of ungratefulness, a life of ingratitude. When you are building capacity, don't live a life of ingratitude. Romans 1 verse 21. Can somebody open to Romans 1 verse 21 and read it out for us? Romans 1:21. Who has the microphone? Romans 1:21, please. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts was darkened. You have the microphone. Do you have another translation of it? NIV. Another translation of Romans 1:21. Yes, ma'am.
Gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened.
A life of ingratitude. There's nothing as bad as that, you know? And we must teach our children from the beginning. There are children who collect school fees from their fathers, and you know, they just collect school fees and off they go. They will not say thank you to their father. There are women who collect feeding allowances from their husbands, and they will not bother to say thank you to such husbands. There are so many men who will sit down and cross their legs while the wife is cooking, and she serves the food, put it on the table for him, and he will eat it, he will enjoy it, it is delicious. But he will never say thank you to the wife. And if you have listened to this, generation we have somehow is a generation of people of ungrateful people. Young people will say, Shebi, it's my father's responsibility to pay my school fees. Go and ask fathers that cannot pay their children's school fees. Women who collect feeding allowances say, it is his responsibility to give me. Why must I say thank you? Go and ask women whose husbands cannot provide at all, whose husband will just, they are just there as figurehead. So when your husband gives you, must be able to say thank you. Children, go and ask. Some of them will say, it is if the children, they will say, if they cannot take care of me, why did they give birth to me? I tell you, it is ingratitude. It's not your entitlement. It is just grace that has allowed them to be given you. So don't you ever be ungrateful. When you give somebody something, a life of unthankfulness, and the person did not say thank you, would you think about that person to give him again? Answer me now. So it is the same thing with all of us. When you have a life of ingratitude and you feel, they are supposed to pay my salary. So what's the big deal? You collect your salary and that's it. No thank you, nothing. They are supposed to do it. You just take everything for granted. It does not take long before God will begin to seal such avenues. When you are grateful, when you have a life of being thankful, of being grateful, then your tank will always be full. Your heart will bring forth joy. You know, everything around you will begin to blossom. But when you wake up in the morning, you slept and you woke up, you can't even say, thank you, Lord. You just get up. I tell people, I say, when you are not a goat, how can you just get up and shake your body and you begin to go? You cannot just say, thank you, Lord. I slept. Do you think that it's everybody who slept that woke up? It's not everybody. Thank God. Be grateful to God. We should not live a life of ingratitude. Be able to say thank you. Don't take anything for granted. You breathe with your nose. Air goes in. You breathe out. You are not using pipe. They didn't put oxygen beside you before you can breathe. You carry your hand, it can go up. You carry your leg, it can go. And you are not grateful to God. You see, many people say, they are talking about other people. Me, what do I have? If you are not grateful for 1 naira that God gives you, even when you have 100 million naira, you will still not be grateful. There are people who are living lives of ungratefulness. And God, honestly, I believe it's one of the things that God hates. He dislikes it totally. If you look at the Bible, anytime God is about to do something great for the children of Israel, he will start with, when you were in Egypt. Many of you, we were in Egypt. When you were under a great burden, a great bondage, when you were asked to provide bricks without them giving you straw, when you were struggling, when you were nobody, that's where God usually starts. Read your scriptures. He will say, now I have brought you here to a land flowing with milk and honey. And then you forget him. He will always say that, don't you forget where you are coming back from. In the book of Revelation, to God said, he said, because you have forgotten your first love, go back to your first love. A life of being grateful, a life, don't ever build on ingratitude. Don't ever take anything for granted. Always be thankful to God for giving you whatever he gives unto you in life. This, not this Sunday, the other Sunday, we were in New Covenant Church, Akure. We had a weekend seminar for the church, and Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and we were with the church. And you know, after speaking, it was the whole area, the whole Akure family, those from Owo came, they came from different places. I was also, Daddy spoke with them most of the time. I was asked to speak to them maybe twice. And what was I speaking? After speaking to them another. And on Sunday, after the church service, we were about to come back. I was not even expecting anything at all. And then a lady just walked up to me and put an envelope in my hand. I knew her in Ife. And I was saying to her, which envelope are you giving me? Please take it away. I gave it back to her. She said, no. You have blessed us. I want to bless you. Oh. And I thought, well, maybe 10, 20, 30,000 naira. And what's the big deal? Keep it and take care of it. But you know, I didn't even open the envelope. I didn't even check what was inside. Until, I think it was the following day. I now opened my bag because I needed to change my bag to come to church or something. To come, go somewhere. And I opened it and I saw that what she put there for me was some dollars. $100. And I said, God, I wasn't expecting it. You are wonderful. Immediately I started trying to get her. I already shared the testimony. I called my daughter and said, this is what happened. The church gave us honorarium. Yes, you will say, okay, maybe. But I was not expecting the dollars, is like Ibadan people call it. The dollars was too much. And actually, I was doing something online. And I needed some hundreds of dollars to complete it. And I spoke with my granddaughter the week before. And I told her that, God will do it. Don't worry. God will do it. She said, that means that you will change naira to dollar. I said, no, I won't change naira to dollar. God will do it. Do you know it was the exact amount I needed? Praise the Lord. God is faithful. When you are grateful to God with little things, He will give you more. So I was so grateful. I called her and said, she said, ah, she didn't know that it will even touch me. Like, it's not about how much. It is about the fact that we are grateful that you have blessed us. And then it is about the fact that I was also telling other people, that money I tell God will give us, God has given me. We must live a life of gratitude. Don't you ever build on a life of ingrat. Don't you ever take anybody for granted, including our spouses. It's because they are here. Suppose they are not, we don't have them. What will you do? What about husbands who don't have wives? Who will cook for them? What about wives who don't have husbands? Who will be the secure? Who will keep them secured? Only God. Don't you ever live a life of ingratitude. Praise the Lord. My next point as I round up is, gratitude. Thanks. I've spoken about gratitude. I've spoken about integrity. I've spoken about strife. Did I talk about strife? Yes, we must not live a life of strife, a life of integrity, a life of thanksgiving. This evening, as we wrap up, I want you to look at all that had been said from the beginning of the month. I want us to look at a particular thing in your life and put it to practice. This point that God has given us, I want you to look at it again and look at your life and be sure that you are building on solid rock. That you are not building on ordinary sand. That you are building on solid rock. I round up with the testimony of a young man in our church in Awe. He graduated and there was no job for him to do. So he kept helping the pastor. He will drive the pastor to church. He will help them to do one thing or the other, since he did not have any paid employment. And of course, while he was a young man, he had lived with his uncle. And when he was living with that uncle, he was always stealing one thing or the other. Many people believe that if they don't steal, they will not make it in life. They believe that it's that those things they steal from you that will give them what they want. No, it doesn't. It removes out of your life. So this young man got committed, rededicated his life, and a day like this, we ministered in the church and we told them that whatever you have stolen, you must make restitution. If you still have the items you have stolen, go back to the person and tell that person that, look, I stole this thing when I was with you. I have come to return it. Please forgive me. And we made that kind of call another, and they came up. Do you know that this boy went back to the uncle? All the things he has stolen, including a wristwatch, he returned it to that uncle and said, I am sorry that I did this. Incidentally, few months after, that uncle's son came from US and he started talking that, this boy surprised me. Oh, he came back to ask me to apologize and to tell me that he has stolen this. He returned everything he has ever stolen and he asked me to pray for him. And that son said that, he did that. That means that God has really touched him. He said, can you call him? I want to see. He first asked him, which church do you attend now? He told him, he said, my father told me what you have done. And because of what you have done, I want to take you. I have this grant that can give scholarship to him. I want to take you along with me to America. Praise the Lord. That was how his destiny was changed and he finished in America. I want you to begin to talk to the Lord. I don't know where you are. I don't know what you have done. I don't know what is happening to you. But God, in this month of building capacity, is ready to build your capacity. Especially when you know where you are going wrong, when you know how to make a roundabout turn for greater move of God.